Anybody here want to admit that they were fighting it out on Black Friday at midnight somewhere? Want to be in my homily? Five a.m. You know, there is a medical cure for this condition. I used to take a dim view of all of that. I realize now some people really need the discounts. Other people think it's fun. I think they're crazy, you know. But I look with fascination now. There's with the internet media, you can get more images of people. And of course, the media look for all the worst ones of people fighting it out or something. Most people are very polite and everything. I was marveling, but I get the newspaper primarily for homily helps, you know. But one lady said she waited up all night to get $10 diapers somewhere. I thought, well, I've never had to worry about that kind of a sale. But you can appreciate that, especially if you're short of money. Another guy camped out at Best Buy since Tuesday to get a 55-inch TV. There's no sale that make me camp out for 2 days to get anything. But you know, the thing is, though, what are they really looking for? We're looking for something you can't find in a store. That's why these things always wear off. I don't care how cool it is, it doesn't last. We all know this, and yet that's what the world has to offer. That's what Black Friday offers us. This reading from the Gospel is from Good Friday, and it's kind of funny that the two go together this year. I find it ironical. You know, people get more excited about Black Friday than Good Friday. And what is the church offering? You don't see people lining up like that at church, but what you do at the family mass at Christmas, that's the one where people have to get here 45 minutes early to get a seat, you know. But what Christ offers us, of course, is eternal life, but we don't think about it. It's not 50% off, it's 100% off. Christ paid the price for us. But we have to recognize the value. How long is the sale good for? One human lifetime. What's the catch? We don't know when it will end. The sale could end at any time. But today's solemnity of Christ the King, to me, is a real thinker. I like reading different theological magazines and stuff, and, you know, I don't just read that kind of stuff, but you find God in everything. One of the things I read earlier this year was the trial of the angels. It's something that's always fascinated me. The angels were created before us. They are like us in the sense that we have the intelligence to make choices. This is what the hallmark of a human being is. We have the choice to choose God or not choose that. That's not something an animal or a plant has that choice. And that makes us unique. And the angels, being given, they're of a higher order of creation. When they were created, they too had to undergo a test. And the question the author was asking is, why was it necessary for the angels to have a test? Couldn't God have just created them perfect and placed them according to his will? Would anyone complain about this? But it was his will that he should have free beings that would participate in their own future. And this is what we're going through now, which makes it so interesting to speculate on this. We don't know a lot about this, but Scripture gives us some tantalizing hints about this. In the book of Revelation, which we're reading at daily mass now and until the first Sunday of Advent, Scripture says, I think it's Revelation 13, that the dragon pulled one-third of the stars from the sky. In other words, the stars represent the angels in that book. And they were pulled out of heaven because of their own free choice to rebel against God. They only had one opportunity because they had perfect knowledge of their choices. We're given a lifetime to make our choices. But the results are no less dramatic. And as a response to the trial or the what God asked of each angel, this is how they were put in their hierarchy. We know that there are different levels of angels, some closer to God and some in other positions. It's very interesting to speculate what that test was. We don't know for certain. I mentioned at Christmas that some of the church fathers said that they were given a vision of the incarnation, that God, the Son, who created them and us, remember, through him all things were made, showed them that he would become a human being in time, and some of them thought, this is too much for us. We can't follow you anymore. We find this a similar test. That's speculation. But what isn't speculation is that each of us is given tests that at times are quite difficult for us to comprehend. All of us have the same test in that we cannot see God and must find him. Each person's mission in life is different. Each trial is different. Some of us have more than others, but all of us ask questions. Here in the gospel, I call this gospel, and this is only a part of what we would hear on Good Friday or Palm Sunday. Excuse me, this would be a Palm Sunday reading. Actually, no, this is the Good Friday reading from John. And Jesus is God on trial. And Pilate represents all of humanity. And he's grilling God. Of course, he doesn't realize it. Neither is Jesus fully revealing who he is. And think about who he is for a minute. I've had trouble recalling this at the other two masses, so I have a cheat sheet here. As often as I say the creed, when you take a line out of context, I couldn't remember how it went. This is the year of the faith, so I'm going to be bringing up the creed a little bit more in my talking here. It says in the creed, through him all things were made. In other words, God the Father, who's the creator, through his Son, the Son did the act of creation among us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have fallen so far in our relationship with God. If you go back to the story of Adam and Eve, it describes a relationship with God in which there would be no doubt that he existed, what he wanted. We would walk with God in some mysterious way while not being in heaven. We have fallen so far that when Christ came, the Creator was not recognized and put on trial by his creatures, the descendants of those who walked with God before the fall. And even today, people do not recognize him, and yet we still hunger for that relationship with God. I submit to you as evidence of that Black Friday. Isn't that a hunger for God in the end? All of our strivings, all the things that we want on earth, are they not satisfied only by the eternal that is in our hearts? We often don't realize that because we're disordered creatures who cannot see God. And this is our test, is that we are under this umbrella of faith. Both first and second readings point this out. Jesus says, I am the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the end. He's there at the creation. He's at the end to receive us. And in the middle of time, he appears hidden under this cloud of faith. I call it a cloud because the second reading says that, see, he comes amid the clouds. Every eye shall, I guess that was the first reading, every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. He will come amid the clouds. The clouds symbolize the darkness of this world being pierced by the light of reality. What we cannot see with our eyes on the last day will be seen, but then, of course, life will be over. The test will be done. It's critical for our test. What we are, each of us has an individual test, but all of us together are under the clouds. In Oregon, more clouds than others, you know, we're more especially blessed with this test, is that although today it's very beautiful, but we cannot see God. We must recognize him. Here at St. Ed's, we recognized him in many of the people who came through the doors, those of you who delivered meals or gave a little money, you know, $10 feeds a family of four, remember that line? You visited Christ and did not know it. Some of them came through the door. Some of you had relatives over that might be problematic or guests. Does that describe anybody here? You all have perfect families. But these are ways in which we recognize Christ, the people that we inevitably we find ourselves shopping in these next 5 weeks. You know, people that we run into, people that are tired and exhausted, people we work with, people that are stressed, people that aren't Christian in their outlook, their words, their deeds. And yet Christ is calling us to be outposts of the kingdom of God. So here in this gospel, Pilate is questioning Jesus. Now, most of us who've had an experience of God have asked the question, why me, Lord? Where were you, Lord? Why have you done this? Why didn't you do this? These are honest human questions, and they're not sins to ask them. Pilate says, he says, your own nation handed you over to me. What have you done? You can hear all of humanity saying to God, what have you done? How many people said this when Hurricane Sandy came through? What have you done? What didn't you do? He might very easily say, why did you build these things so close to the coast? God doesn't say these things back to us. He doesn't answer us directly at all. Pilate asks in another place after this reading, he says, where are you from? Pilate, Jesus says nothing. Where are you from? He realizes he's from another world, you see. He says, he rejects the title of king here. He says, well, you're the one that calls me that, but where I'm from, you call it a kingdom, but it's not from this world. If I was from this world, my attendants, my friends, would be fighting to save me from you. Instead, I've been handed over. You see, I'm not from here. But those who follow me will have the kingdom of God within them. And that's us. Within us is a battle between good and evil, light and darkness, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And it's a constant struggle. And as long as we live, we struggle without seeing. We love without fully comprehending who it is that we're striving to love. And Christ knows this. This is our test. Our future depends on our going through this test. That's what life is all about. The Feast of Christ the King, the Lord, comes before each of us. We have the role of Pilate, in a sense, questioning God. He hands himself over to us, becomes vulnerable to us here in space and time. At the end of time, of course, when every eye sees him, for some, he will appear as a judge because they themselves did not love him. But for those who loved him, he comes as a friend, a king that is welcome, somebody who has already begun to rule in our hearts, though imperfectly. All of us are a mixture of kingdoms until he comes. So it is, Christ leaves us then. He says, every voice in the world that speaks the truth is speaking from me. He said, I am not just a king, I am truth. This is why I came, to testify to the truth. If you belong to the truth, you listen to me. So we pray that God will guide our coming time, particularly between now and Christmas, to the truth of the world, that truly that Christ will reign in our heart as a king, and that he will always be welcome there.